Welcome to the Leisure Link podcast, episode 6. I am Joe.
And I'm Emma. We're your hosts for this episode.
How are you doing, Emma?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. How about you, Joe?
Oh, I've been good, thank you. What have you been up to recently?
Well, this week I've been at Theatre Deli in London working on a project, and Theatre Deli has only gone and shared a post I made about Gig Buddies Croydon. Hello.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Enough about me. What have you been up to? Anything coming up that you're particularly excited about?
Yes, I'm really excited about Soda Beat on the 25th of October at Stanley Arts in South Norwood.
Cool. While I think about it, why don't we tell the audience who's going to be on the show? Do you reckon we should tell them?
Good shout, Emma. Who are we chatting to?
Right, okay. I interviewed Alex Morrell, and he's from Savvy Theatre. We chatted about theatre, life, all sorts of things.
Ah, nice. We will also hear from a musician, Sam Castell-Ward, who shares how lockdown has changed his creative process. And it's going to be a great show, I can tell you. But for now, let's get on with the show.
Yeah, good idea. Let's get on with the show now.
This is the Leisure Link podcast. The Leisure Link podcast!
Hi, Joe here. Welcome to the interview section of the show. In this interview, Emma spoke to Alex from Savvy Theatre Company. He talks about social distancing in panto, drama courses in theatre, and shares his experiences in what it has been like as an actor while filmmaking a documentary.
Hi all. Welcome to this edition of the Leisure Link podcast. I'm Emma, and today I'm going to be interviewing a very distinguished guest. Guest, could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Alex.
Nice to meet you, Alex. So I heard from a little bird that you are involved with a Croydon theatre company. Could you tell me more about that?
Oh, it's Savvy Theatre Company. Mm-hmm. They moved to Fairfield Halls back in September 29th. Is it 2019? Yeah, that's 2019. And I altogether I've been with Savvy since back in 2016 and now. And the group, I was at different parts of the groups. Take Two
is like a disability group. They're separate disability groups, like action replays, 3D drama group, and then Take Two. Mm-hmm. And then up to 2017, I moved on to action replay on a Friday group, and then I got caught in adult company group. It started when they did a Midsummer Night's Dream. I got cast as Francis Flute and Thisbe. It's a show you're on the Shakespeare characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely one of the all my lifetime moments, like where you do acting as a theatre experience outside then inside, because you see many shows that you do inside, don't you, and theatre stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that you were with Jack and the Beanstalk, I think, wasn't it?
Most yeah, recently? The social distancing panto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely it was one of those things, like, it's it for it, when you start it felt strange because of the social distancing acting thing. You're thinking like, oh god, how is that going to work? But then I got used to that. And then it got so much, well, it found a way to make to get some enjoyment out of it. On to show day 18th. It was definitely one of those things you just feel grateful you're back on stage and you're really expressing yourself. Because when you go through lockdowns, not many theatres out there would have just closed down. You had to stay in lockdown. It really was depressing. At times, many times, even over there, I found a way bits of fun here and there, but it still wasn't the same.
But
you end up you watch a few shows on streaming, if that makes sense. You streaming a few things. Some were enjoyable, but again, it was never the same. It was not the same, unfortunately. But
You don't get, sorry to interrupt, because you don't get the audience chatting and the people sitting around you and the lights and stuff moving around.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you'd like to ask about the diploma? How did you hear about it?
Oh, that acting course I got. that one. I had that. Funnily enough, my mum found out from one of her friends that she found that she just figured out, and then she tried to get me into the Zoom gathering thingy. On the accessible areas and know about how they work. I got offered, and then they offered a date. Was it 28th or 29th of July? I think could be a 27th, between the 29th. Yeah, not too sure.
Late July, that's for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. It was definitely one of those things I never didn't know what to expect. It was definitely was nice to see people with disabilities coming together and express their skills. And I thinking to myself, just be myself and don't feel worried too much. Just be myself as much as I can. And I do think to myself that helped them out as well if they get stuck. That's the thing I kind of learned a lot, would support others with disabilities. So 2 days, it was definitely great. It's surprisingly quite shorter than the one I had last time. It's a yellow course, where's grey eye, I had that five-day course. Quite exhausting stuff, but
yeah,
it's something, a learning curve for me, even though it's definitely has a good stuff. I didn't get through to the end, but I kind of knew back then. It's not as long as Grey Eye, interestingly, but if it was even though the first day is at 2 hours, and then you have a break for two hours of the session, and then you have a final 2 hours on the day. One hour. And then you finish, and then the next day you had an interview.
Wow.
An interview. Actually, interview went really well. I got told that I got amazing answers. I want to inspire many people with disabilities, and something I want to learn about, because I hear many times of how stunt works on camera. Because many stunts work with Keanu Reeves, for example, who John Wick, and he was in the Matrix films. And who has Tom Cruise doing stunt work in Mission Impossible movies? It's just crazy. Crazy when I hear those stories. But there's something. I'm very curious to how these things work on camera. I learned how camera works this year with my filmmaker, with the documentary from end of April up to July 18th. It was definitely a great experience. It definitely was exhausting, but definitely feels like you achieved something near the end, which is great. But Yeah, the interview went really well. Like, it's supposed to be 30 minutes, but like it only ended up like 10 minutes. Like, 10 minutes. So I was like, oh, wow, that flied very well. And I thought, like, I had a good chance I might get through, but I didn't want to think that way too much. Because if you think high expectations and then you're thinking disappointment. But then turns out at the end, like, is it 17th of August, they email me that they're happy that they put me in part of the course on the end of September 28th and up to, and then start the proper course October 17th up to, October 12th up to September 17th. September 17th, sorry. Yeah. But yeah, it definitely was definitely one of those things. It's a great feeling, but at the same time, I feel like I'm ready, kind of went then before to do more, I guess. See where it goes. But like, I think it, like, focus on now and see where it goes. And yeah.
You mentioned that you had a film crew following you for a documentary.
Well, it was only one.
Right, okay.
Just a filmmaker.
I see. Okay, yeah. That's what I'm asking about then. Sorry.
It's all right. But was it that something about my experience about it as a whole, or?
Yeah, your experience as a whole, what you feel you might have learned from the crew, or they might have learned from you even.
If we had most of it, were like when we had to go to a cinema or theatre, we had to get approval by ahead of the like view, or you can name like ahead of theatre company and stuff like that. It's never easy when you get approval. But we managed to get a few things in. We sort of had a bit of most of the cinema at times when I went to see A Quiet Place Part 2, that survival horror movie. But we only managed to be outside and talk about it only. I don't know if it's going to be part of filming. I haven't seen the film yet with my filmmaker. She said that she's going to find a time at some point to say it to watch it and that stuff. But yeah, I'll be curious how that will look. That'd be interesting. And even one thing I forgot is interesting, camera. You had to pretend that the camera's not there. You can't look at a camera. You had to look like I look over there talking and I can't see you, kind of way. I'm not supposed to just look at you on the camera. You had to make sure, like, it's not pretend you actually had to ignore the camera, pretend it's not there, and just be yourself. Wherever you look at it, it could be a TV, or you're walking in a different area, or all that stuff, or some of the exercise as well, and that stuff. So, that's something I've really learned. This. Don't ever look at the camera. Look somewhere else.
yeah. What do you reckon is going to happen next for Safi Theatre? Where are they at? Where are you at?
They talk about the Grimms. Grimms, for what I learned, is it's something to do with like a Brothers Grimm story kind of way. I didn't bother to learn more about it, but what I could say is it's got a bit of a mixture of Little Red Riding Hood and the Wolf storyline to it. It has that storyline to it, but with a different, you could probably say the twist to it. And even the character, I end up going to play two characters. I could play the boy. It's called The Boy Who Wants to Learn What Shivering Is, or Was. I've forgotten the title a little bit, but it's a court case drama, if that makes sense. I'll play the other one. I don't know if I could give away the character name yet, but
all right, then.
It's a one called, is it you I could give you a little clue, like the other one are going to be, is the other character I'll be, is it's, he's clever and intelligent. it's something a bit cheesy. But it kept in my mind being like, oh God, I'm going to play that character. Oh God. like you had the boy who's not that clever, intelligent, and the others I see are clever and intelligent and handsome looking.
Wow, so you're basically playing like two opposites, it feels like. That must be a bit of a challenge for you.
Yeah, definitely. I can't stop giggling for Sherry just coming up with ideas. Oh, like we were doing on one day, Tuesday, we're doing a bit of costume off the clever intelligence character. I can't stop thinking in my mind, thinking, oh God, what will I look like on that day? Just that Savvy always come up with silly banter with costumes, but make it brilliant and fun. It's just so hilarious. It's just great stuff, really. It's great stuff.
Cool. So how can people find out more about Savvy or join them or whatever?
Oh yeah, Savvy it's S, you can just put it on Google, spell it as S-A-V-V-Y, then you put theatre company, T-H-E-A-T-R-E?
Yeah, I think that's how you spell theatre in UK. Yeah. Thanks for letting us know how to look up Savvy Alex. If you'd like to find out more about Access All Areas, you can Google ACCESSALLAREASTHEATRE. Like Savvy Theatre, Access All Areas and Savvy Theatre both have a Facebook and a YouTube and a Twitter and an Instagram. If you'd like to find out more about Grey Eye Theatre Company, you can Google them by spelling G-R-A-E-A-E. That's Grey Eye, G-R-A-E. A-E, Theatre Company, T-H-E-A-T-R-E, C-O-M-P-A-N-Y, and they have an Instagram and a Facebook and a Twitter and a website. That said and done, thank you so much for coming on, Alex. It's been an absolute pleasure to listen to you, and I cannot wait to see and hear what you and Savvy Theatre do next. And I can't wait to see how you do with the course. I feel like you're going to fit in quite well myself.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll speak again or see each other soon.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be great. Definitely great.
See you soon, ooh. Alex. Speak soon.
See ya. Take care. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to the Lesson League Podcast.
The Leisure Link Podcast.
Welcome to the music section of the show. In this episode, we hear from the musician, singer, and songwriter Sam Castell-Ward, who has taken advantage during lockdown to create music. Before becoming the music artist for which he is known, Sam started his career as a poet. Like a thread, his poetry runs through his music to push boundaries for positive change. See what I did there? At the end of the music section, we hear a song, Headlights Hurt My Eyes, a song many people can relate to, autistic and the like. Here's Sam.
Hi, I'm Sam Castell-Ward. I'm a singer-songwriter, perform my own original raw and different songs. I play guitar and sing, sometimes harmonica, and there are sometimes other instruments I might play in some recordings as well of my songs. I first got interested in doing music when I used to watch the music channels that were on TV. There was VH1 and MTV and Kerrang. I remember I particularly got into watching some rock music, heavy music, particularly watching like MTV and MTV2 and Kerrang, and listening to bands like Nirvana and Sex Pistols. And yeah, and that's what made me want to do what I saw the bands I was seeing on TV do. I wanted to also play, in a band and record songs and do tours, release albums. Someone once described my music saying it sounded like a combination of Bob Dylan and punk. And I think that's probably the best description someone's come up with. Because, I was influenced by people such as Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie, Tom Waits and Johnny Cash, but also influenced by, when I was listening to heavier music like Alice in Chains and Nirvana and Tool. And so, it kind of made my songs still very raw and sort of make, and they come across kind of punky to people. But yeah, my songs are also often quite a bit different. So I tend to try and be unusual, not just do what everyone else is doing in their songs. Yeah, try and sort of, yeah, push boundaries, change things. But yeah, people also find my lyrics quite poetic. I used to write poetry before I started doing music, which I still do as well. And people find my lyrics very sort of poetic, like what I talk about, what I sing about in songs has to be something that I find really important. And yeah, despite all those things, people still find my songs to be catchy as well. With coronavirus lockdowns, luckily for me, there were quite a lot of opportunities for me to still do things, which was particularly good as I, even before the lockdown, I got a text from the NHS coronavirus team telling me I had to do shielding because I'm classed as being high risk. And so I was told I had to stay in for 12 weeks and not leave the house and not go anywhere near any of my family members and be in a different room most of the time. And which at first it sounded like a really big nightmare, but it was something I got used to. And luckily there were opportunities to do music remotely. There were some gigs that I could play remotely. And being someone that technology is accessible enough to, so that I could, so I was able to, go on Zoom or Facebook or whatever, or Instagram, and still play things live, be able to be streamed. And also there were lots of things with another arts organization who support my music and my creative things I do, Heart and Soul, and they had the opportunity for me to record some songs with a band that I work with, made up of musicians from Heart and Soul. And we used to always rehearse in the studio when we had gigs coming up and things, but then when we were working on songs of mine, we'd rehearse in the studio. But when we knew that wasn't really possible to rehearse together, we started recording my songs remotely. So I'd record like the guitar and singing for a song, and then I'd email it to my drummer, and he'd play some drums, and And then, you know, after we were happy with what he with that, then we'd send it to the bassist. He'd play some bass. When he's happy with that, we'd send it to the keyboard player. And then after that, I might then play some extra bits of guitar or other instruments, some backing vocals maybe. And that had been really good. And that actually was better than when we used to rehearse in the studio, because in the studio, there wasn't that much time, and it was just trying to make sure everyone was comfortable playing the song together. And there wasn't much of a chance to develop, oh, maybe the bass line could be like this, or maybe you could do some backing vocals here, or maybe there could be a drum fill like this, you know, there could be this sort of keyboard part, this sort of drum in here and that sort of thing. And there really wasn't a chance, there wasn't very much of a chance to develop songs in the rehearsal time, the amount of time we had in rehearsals. So it was really good to just be able to sort of really have a chance to just develop things. Because like, so, say if I was sent like a drum beat, I said, okay, what if you play something a bit more like this there? And there was just a chance to really develop the songs a lot better. And even when we did do a streamed gig, when things got a bit better with the coronavirus situation for a little bit, and we were able to rehearse in person, and we rehearsed in person after all doing like a coronavirus test each, and we sort of rehearsed and played some songs together that were the songs we'd been recording, but we just had them down a lot better than it would have been if we were just when we tended to have songs when we were just rehearsing them in person in the studio. And yeah, there'd been lots of chances to record versions of my songs, and we even recorded some versions of my poems with my band, where I'd sort of do some poetry and my band would come up with music for the poems. And we talked about doing me releasing a poetry EP and having some videos made for those poems and those things. And yeah, and I was really proud of a stream gig I did with Heart and Soul as part of the Beautiful Octopus Club last year. Then in November, which was streamed on their YouTube, it's still on there now. And I did a performance of my poems, and yeah, those videos of me that I talked about when my band were played some songs together live, and that was featured, as well as a new music video for a song. One of the songs we've been recording remotely, we had the music video for that. Best gig that I've done so far was the launch night for my last EP I released, which was called Living in the Real False World. And that was at the end of 2018, that launch night was. It was, yeah, supported by Heart and Soul, who I mentioned earlier, and it was at Buster Mantis in Deptford. Good venue, we're open to doing this night. And yeah, one of the reasons it went so well is we had a really long time to plan it. Because I mean, the EP I finished recording at the end of 2017. And we've had a really long time, almost a year, to plan it. And the things I was thinking of saying between my songs, I sort of really thought about some really meaningful things to say, to work with the songs and say about everything. And it was just my best gig I've ever done. It was great. There were loads of people there, because it can be, I always find it can be really difficult to get a lot of people coming down to your gigs. But it was amazing. There were just loads and loads of people. It was really packed. So it was overwhelmed in a good way. How many more people I could have dreamed to have had at a gig. And I got to perform songs with my band for the first, this was our first performance as a band, that I mentioned earlier that I play with people from Heart and Soul. That band was formed to play at that launch night. And just people really loved it and were really into at my songs and everything I was saying between my songs. And people bought loads of copies of my EP and my previous EP I released before that, and it was, yeah, certainly one of the best experiences of my life and the best gig that I've done so far. Some upcoming performances I have, there are, you know, I'll be playing at the Walled Garden in Valentine's Park in Ilford, outside a cafe called Gardener's Cottage Cafe. And that's going to be on Sunday, 17th of October, and that starts at 11 in the morning. And I'm also going to be doing a gig actually on Halloween on the 31st of October that starts at 2 p.m., where I'm going to be doing some songs with my band. And I'm also going to be doing the versions of my poems that my band have been making music to. I'm going to be performing to the music they recorded, doing the poems there, and doing the, and yeah, and doing some live songs with the band. And really looking forward to this gig. It'll be really cool. It's, yeah, it's at Cafe Otto in Hackney, hosted by Robin Stewart. It's part as one of her Robin's Rocket gigs. I mean, this is also going to be part of Heart and Soul's Beautiful Octopus Club this year. And yeah, so yeah, you can either, yeah, get tickets to go and watch that gig. You can go, yeah, on Cafe Otto's website, they sell tickets to go and watch the gig live, or you can get tickets on the door, which are a bit more expensive. Or you can also, you can also watch the gig will be streamed from Cafe Otto's website as well, live at the time of the gig, which starts, yeah, 2 p.m. on the 31st of October. You can find more about my music from my website, samcasterworld.com, which is samcasterworld.com. Or you can go to my Bandcamp page, samcasterworld.bandcamp.com. As, yeah, I know repetition is important with remembering things, I'll say it again. That's samcasterworld.bandcamp.com. And I have my last two EPs are on there on different wavelengths, and Living in the Real False World you can get from my Bandcamp page. I'm going to leave you with my song Headlights Hurt My Eyes, which was for my last EP, Living in the Real False World. And yeah, this has become my most popular song. It's a song that people always tend to like and remember. I actually wrote the song about sensory overload issues, being misunderstood, issues trying to deal with light or noise. And although, yeah, these are things specific to me in some ways as a person, this is something that can particularly affect myself and other autistic people, but in some ways other people can possibly relate to it. Some people have said about relating to the song. And yeah, so this is on my last EP. This is called Headlights Hurt My Eyes.
Headlights hurt my eyes. My attempt to help disguised as inconsiderate, despised. I just run and hide. Things are building up inside. In your vicinity, I hear your noise right in my face. To you, it's far away. My focus on all is nearly destroyed. Don't bother you, I look a fool. Your headlights hurt my eyes. So a wall I've built divides. Can't face being by your side. It's not personal, realize. I'm a different person from your kind. The compulsion so hard to resist. I do it again and again and again. Relinquent who try to hit then miss. This ain't a phase, I'm stuck in this maze. Your headlights hurt my eyes. So a wall I've built divides. can't face being by your side. It's not personal, realize I'm a different person from your kind. So yeah, I'm a little bit different. You said it'd be a boring place if we were all the same. Seems you're not that consistent. If someone don't fit your mold, they must be changed to fit in with more of the same. It's not your fault, you know who to blame. And your headlights hurt my eyes. So a wall I've built divides. Can't face being by your side. It's not personal, realize. Your headlines are all lies. You look wrongly with your eyes. I'm still far from paradise. Can't you see I'm not the type that fits in with your prototype? Your headlights hurt my eyes.
That was the track Headlights Hurt My Eyes by Sam Castell-Ward. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks to Emma, Alex, and Sam for being on the show. Transient visitors for providing the music for the beginning and end of our podcasts. And not forgetting the Leisure Link podcast team, Ollie, Rachel, Evie, and Ned. Also, a special thank you to everyone at Club Soda. If you would like any information about the Leisure Link podcast, please contact www.clubsoda.org.uk. See you on the next Leisure Link podcast.